Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. Our title today is Jesus, is he worthy of our worship? Jesus, is he worthy of our worship? You know, the word worship in the Bible has innuendos or implications. The word worship in the Old Testament really comes from an Oriental word, which means to bow down. And, of course, you think of the Oriental context of the Bible. To bow down meant to get on your hands and knees before a king or a ruler and to submit yourself completely to them. That word, bow down, is the word that's most often translated in the Bible to worship. But you know, when you think of the word worship, there is really a little play on words that helps us think about it. And a little play on words is worth-ship. Worth-ship. Worthy. Is Jesus worthy of our worship? Is he worthy of our worship? We're going to look at a number of places in the Bible where Jesus was worshipped. And we're going to look at these situations, and we're going to look at this very fact, that in each situation that these particular persons considered Jesus worthy of worship. We'll see as well as how they worshipped him, but they will reveal to us that they thought Jesus was worthy of worship. In Matthew chapter 2, the Magi, we know them as the wise men, who saw the star that announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps this is a year later, but it's many months after his birth they are coming from the east to find the Lord Jesus, whose birth was announced by this star. Now, we know that the east was full of Jews that had been taken captive. There was hundreds of thousands of Jews living in Syria, in now present Persia, that had been taken captive, and they multiplied by the thousands in the east. There had been no shortage of biblical teaching, no shortage of prophecies about Christ that would have been known throughout that area of the world. And God in his providence sought to announce the birth of Jesus Christ by a special star that shone in the night, that was there in some special way that announced his birth. And they recognized that this was the announcement. So they came to Bethlehem Jerusalem, the capital of Judah and the head of the Jewish religion. And certainly those people would know where the Christ child was born, whose star announced his birth. And so they came to Jerusalem and went to the king. Now, the king should know where the Christ was going to be born. Of course, Herod was a heathen. He didn't know the truth, and he didn't care about the truth either. But this was a very interesting subject because perhaps a competitor had been born, and he didn't even know about it. And so they come to Herod, and he calls the chief priests and the Pharisees, and he says, now, what does the Bible say? Where was Christ going to be born? And so they answer him without much hesitation. Oh, we know where he's going to be born. The Bible tells us where he was going to be born. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible tells us where the Messiah was going to be born. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day knew where he was going to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. And so they told him, well, where you need to go to Bethlehem, because that's where, if he was going to be born, that's where he would be born. And of course, that's exactly what they did. They took off for Bethlehem, which is only 5 miles from Jerusalem. And on their way to Bethlehem, the Lord miraculously allowed that star to shine again. Now, that's not unusual for the Lord. The Shekinah glory that filled the temple shone like the brightness of the firmament. It was nothing for God to reveal himself. And so they went to Bethlehem. And in Micah chapter 2, this is 5 verse 2, this is what it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." In other words, Bethlehem was a little city. And there was thousands of cities in Judah, but Bethlehem was a little one. "But thou, though thou be among the thousands of Judah, thou be thou little among the thousands, yet out of thee he shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel." How out of this little town, the little town of Bethlehem, was going to become the ruler, the king, the Messiah of the Jewish people. And then he says, this ruler is going to be one whose goings forth have been from of old. Yes, even from everlasting. And of course, identified that this Messiah was going to be the God-man, the eternal God, taking on human flesh, the seed of David, to rule the messianic kingdom of God. The Bible made very clear where this Jesus was going to be born. Now, they understood that Jesus was the God-man. They understood from different prophecies of Isaiah that this Messiah was going to be born of a woman, but he was actually God. And he's going to come to deliver his people from their sins. And so the Bible tells us that God announced the birthplace of Jesus and directed him right to the house. Isn't that great? It says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." There's the babe. And you can see him. They got on their hands and knees and they worshiped the Lord Jesus. They worshiped the Lord Jesus. They knew that this baby was the promised seed of the woman, promised to Adam and Eve. They knew that this was the promised son of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. They knew that this was the son of David, who is promised to rule on the throne of Israel forever and ever. This was the Son of God. And they fell down before this little baby because he was God robed in flesh. He was God, having left heaven and took upon him a human body so he could die in our place. They fell down and they worshiped him. The eternal one, the ruler of the kingdom and of the world. And the Bible says, and they opened their treasures. I like that. They opened their treasures. You know, they didn't have just little gifts, so to speak. They had treasures. They had treasures. And the Bible says they presented him gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. These valuables. Wow. Treasures. Why do they bring treasures? Because he was worthy of worship. He was worthy of their best. We sing the song, "Give of the best to your master." You know, the only people who give Jesus their best are those who see him as worthy. It's amazing how God works. What would a baby need with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What would a baby need with these precious ointments that were very, very expensive? What would he need with? What would a little baby need them for? Well, obviously, Jesus was going to have to be rescued from Herod, and his parents were going to have to take him on a long journey and live in a foreign country. It's going to be very expensive to live, to take that journey. And God provided. His earthly parents, with these precious gifts. Was Jesus worthy of worship? Yes, the wise men thought so. They brought their treasures. Worthy of a king. I'm thinking of Malachi chapter 1. And this gives us the attitudes of the people of God in apostasy. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Now we realize in the last days, the Bible says people will be disobedient to their parents. There will be a lack of parental respect. But the Bible tells us it's normal. Parental respect is normal. And so the Bible says a son honors his father, and a servant honors his master. If I am a father, God is saying, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Go to Prince Charles and offer him a pen, ink pen that doesn't work. Go to Prince Charles and offer him a hat that has a hole in it. I mean, people think, well, no one's going to do that. No one be so foolish as that. God is saying, you know, if I'm worthy, why don't you honor me like I'm worthy? You know, the wise men brought their treasures. They didn't bring their leftovers. You know why? Because Jesus is worthy. They fell down and worshiped him, a babe. I thought it'd be good for us to take a little journey through the New Testament and see some thoughts about the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 3. We know John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the Jewish people for Jesus, the Messiah. And the Jewish people were self-righteous, and they thought that because they were Jews, they're going to go to heaven, you know, like people today. Oh, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Really? Are you really going to heaven? And the Jews, that's what they thought. And John the Baptist, he came and he preached the message of repentance. The message of repentance. That they, although Jews, although religious, they were born the children of Adam and Eve, and they were sinners like everyone else. And their heart was evil. Maybe they didn't do all the sins of everybody else, but they had a proud heart. And that was one of the top sins. They were proud. They didn't need to repent. John the Baptist was sent to announce the coming of the Messiah and to teach the people how they could be prepared for him. And so he is announcing the coming of the Lord. Matthew 3:11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And those who repented of their pride and their self-righteousness and their holding on to their religion, that they were good enough, that when they repented, saw themselves as sinners and needing salvation, the Bible says they were baptized after their repentance. And that's always been the Bible baptism, and that's the only baptism there really is. But he's explaining this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, that's Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Now remember, President Bush was in, where was he? Iraq. And someone threw a shoe at him. Remember that? In Middle East culture, the lowest thing that you could do is throw your shoe at someone. And John the Baptist, what does he say? He says, I'm not even worthy to bear the shoes of Jesus. He is so great, so high, and so mighty. I'm not even worthy to touch his shoes. That's what he thought of Jesus. That's what he thought of Jesus. Would you think to serve Jesus would be to stoop? Do you think that that is something that would be very lowly? You know, that's what a lot of young people think today. To serve Jesus Christ with their life? Oh, what a waste. What a waste. I'm in it for the money. That's what they say. Let's go for the money. Serve Jesus with your life? Ha! I wouldn't lower myself to do that. But John the Baptist, what did he say? He said, I'm not even worthy to lower myself and carry his shoes. That's what he thought of Jesus. Is Jesus worthy? Matthew chapter 8. The Bible tells us, came down from the multitudes, and great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. Here's this crowd. Can you picture it? Here's this crowd of people. But there's a leper. I imagine as the leper walked through the crowd, you know, want to make the crowd move, just say, man in a wheelchair, right? The crowd will move. They saw the leper. Ah! Leper! But which one of them fell down on his face and worshiped Jesus? Here's the leper. And he said, he worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus was worthy. Isn't that amazing? How did this leper approach Jesus? He approached him as one who is worthy of worship. What an amazing truth. One who is worthy of his worship. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable. And in this parable, he's talking about himself, really. He's talking about himself as a king. The king who had so much wealth that he could easily forgive a $6 million debt. And of course, the debt is a picture of our debt. It's a picture of the debt of our sins. This big list of terrible sins we all have. And the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And we all will stand before God someday, won't we? The Bible says every idle word, everything done in a secret, will be brought to the light. We'll stand before the king. It says, and when he began to reckon, his servants and what they owed him, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. About $53 million. How are you ever going to pay that off? You know, that's a picture of you and I. We could never pay off our sin. There's nothing that we could do to get rid of our sin. It's impossible. What could we do? Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not something that you could do. No good work that you and I could do could ever erase our bad. Here's a man who is hopelessly lost, in debt. But the Bible says, but as for much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and that all that he had in payment to be made. They're going to go to a debtor's prison and pay off the debt. Well, they'd never pay it off. They're going to be in jail the rest of their life. Almost as a picture of the fact that there will be souls in hell forever and ever and ever. Because they've refused the forgiveness that only Jesus can give. The servant therefore fell down and he worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loved him and forgave him the debt. Just like that. He was moved with compassion and he forgave him the debt. Jesus gave a similar parable to the Pharisees, and he said, who will love me the most? And of course, the answer to the parable was, those that thou hast forgiven the most. $6 million. You're forgiven. It's over. Don't worry about it. Forgiven. Is Jesus worthy of our worship? Your sins, mine. Oh, they weren't accidents. Even used the name of the Lord in vain. Swore using God's name. Even Jesus' name. That's how much disrespect we've had for God. Just name all the sins. You know, most people don't want to do that. Most people, they try to pretend like they don't have any sins. They try to, nah, nothing. This is a pretty big list of sins. He says, I forgive you. You ever listed your sins? You know, most people don't. Because we don't want to think that we're so bad. You know that? We don't want to think we're so bad. Just make a list. And Jesus forgave us. Is he worthy of our worship? Is he worthy that when we would come to this place, that we would willingly come, gladly come, and we'd have a song on our heart? There would be words that were beyond comprehension of how much we would want to praise him and thank him and serve him and honor him. We could never make a list of how many ways we'd want to honor him and worship him because of that big list of sins that he has forgiven. And some of them mighty big ones. Yeah. To worship him is to honor him. To glorify him. To lift him up in our hearts. to fall before him. Revelation chapter 4. Here's the scene in heaven. And here we find in Revelation 4:10, the 24 elders who are representative of the believers. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Now, we could have a whole sermon on that one. We don't have time, but it talks about how the believers are going to worship him with the rewards of their faithful servants. And they're going to worship the Savior. Shows us that those who think a lot about Jesus will serve him with their life. Tells us that those who think a lot about Jesus will live a righteous life. Will separate themselves from the world and its sins. Because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to serve. He's worthy to live for. Notice what it says. Then he says, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Here we find the Lord. Jesus said, John 1, it says of Jesus, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. Jesus. You know, when they say, In the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and they laugh at that, you know who they're mocking? Jesus. In heaven, the saints will worship him as the creator. We owe our breath to him. We owe our existence to him. He's revealed in this great creation in every aspect of it. How great he is. The psalmist said, When I think the sun, the moon, the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God, the great God of heaven, is nothing for him to say, Let there be light, and there was light. Nothing. And yet he loved you and I. Amazing. Is he worthy? He's the great creator. Chapter 5, we see another scene in heaven. And this scene is the one who's worthy to open the book of judgment on this earth. Verse 8, And when he had taken the book, the four and beasts, And 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That's Jesus. He's the Lamb. He's the sacrificial Lamb. He's the substitute. He's the innocent sacrifice who gave his life for our sin. He's called the Lamb. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Here we find the Lord Jesus worshiped as the great Redeemer. Worshiped as the great Redeemer. That's a great word in the Bible. We sung it this morning. Did you remember? Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus, the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Think of how that song should be sung. Jesus, our Redeemer. Did you sing it like that this morning? Or is it just words? Notice what it says. They're singing. Verse 12. Verse 11. Let's get it. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. Singing with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. And blessing every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And such as are in the sea and all that are in them. I heard saying... Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. The great Redeemer. The millions and billions of angels worshiping. And the saints. Redeemed out of every tribe, tongue, nation, standing before God and the Lamb and singing praises to His name. That's reality. You know, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He says, woe is me. You know, he saw Jesus. Now we have a throne in heaven. There's Jesus. This is reality. He is so great. He is so great. There would be only one proper response: to worship Him forever and ever. Notice the song. Notice the song. Thou art worthy. He has redeemed us to God by His blood. We'll repeat the illustration, but you know the word redeem. Redeem means to buy out of the slave market. To buy out of the slave market. New Testament times, the Roman Empire ruled the world. You know how the soldiers were paid? By whatever they could get in gold, silver. But one of the highest things they could get was slaves. They'd capture a country. They take the doctors, the lawyers, the professors, the mathematicians, the skilled laborers. They'd capture them They march him to Rome. And they would take them to the slave auction. And there the rich would buy their own doctor. There they would buy the man who was an inventor or a scientist. They'd own him. They'd be a slave for the rest of their life. They bought a good price. They're sold at the auction. Now in America, there used to be slave auctions. It was a terrible thing. And of course, Uncle Tom's Cabin spoke about how horrible it could be. Young girls bought at the slave auction to be abused the rest of their life. People treated like cattle. Not all of them, but many of them had a terrible future. Imagining auctioning off a human being. But as you know, at those slave auctions, the Quakers were well known to go to the slave auctions. That's when the Quakers were born again believers. The Quakers would go to those auctions. They'd save their money. You can imagine those slaves wondering who was going to buy them. You can just imagine them looking at the eyes of that evil man who's going to buy them and what he was going to do to them. The fear in their mind. And the auctioneer would say, "Sold!" Can you imagine the joy when up to one of those slaves, a Quaker man would come? A good man. And he said, "I bought you. You're free. You're free." The terror turned to joy. He's been redeemed. The price has been paid. He's bought out of the slave market. And we all were in that slave market of sin. Satan was our master. And the sins that we willfully have chosen had put us into bondage. And there was a good man at the auction. Jesus was his name. He paid the ultimate price. He shed his blood to redeem us, to buy us, to deliver us from Satan and sin and set us free. It was Jesus. The Redeemer. You can imagine many of those slaves at that moment, and this is true, would go to that kindly Christian and say, "Thank you. Thank you." I'll serve you gladly the rest of my life. And it was true. And the Bible says that Jesus not only redeemed us from the marketplace of sin and that terrible master Satan and sin has no respect to persons. Not only redeemed us by his blood, but the Bible says he made us unto God kings and priests. We're now child of the king. Lifted to the highest level that man could ever be lifted. It was Jesus who did it. Is he worthy of our worship? In the 1700s, there's a Moravian village in Germany. And under Count Zinzendorf, that community signed a covenant that they would live for God and love one another. And a 100-year revival spread was over that community. Lasted 100 years. There were more Moravians across the world, thousands more than there were in that little town, because so many of them gave their life to serve the Lord as missionaries to spread the gospel. It was told there was an island 5,000 slaves. They are owned by one man. And no missionaries were allowed to go to that island. The man owned the island. He owned the slaves. 5,000 slaves would never hear about Jesus. They would all die and go to hell. There was no way to send a missionary. No one else was allowed to the island. Two young Moravian men, about 20 years old, heard of that island. And they said, you know, we cannot go to that island as a missionary and tell those people about Jesus. Let us volunteer ourselves to be bought as slaves. And we will go to that island as slaves, owned by that man. And then we'll be able to tell those people about Jesus. So they went to the slave auction. Went on the auction block. And that cruel, cruel slave owner bought them. And now they were slaves for life. Slaves over their earthly destiny. To spend the rest of their life away from their family, their friends, their church, everything. Never to be seen ever again. And they weren't. The ship left the harbor. The two men were on the side of the slave ship. As the ship pulled away, they said, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And that's what the saints of God will be singing in heaven forever and ever. Worthy. Worship is worth-ship. Is he worthy for you to worship him? Is he worthy for you to give him your best? Or do you give him your cast off? What's left over? Is he worthy to give him your best? Is he worthy that you address in your best for him when you worship him? Is he worthy That when you come to church, you would purposely sing from your heart. Is he worthy for you to listen to open your Bible and say, God, what is it that you want me to know that I might obey? Is he worthy that when you, that you would choose to come and hear the word of God preached and you would purposely say, Lord, I'm bowing down before you today, Lord. For Lord, there's many things in my life that must change. Please, Lord, show me. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy to tell others about him? This glorious Savior who redeemed you from hell, from sin, the bondage of sin, is he worthy? Oh, let me tell you about the greatest person ever lived in all the world. Let me tell you about Jesus. Are you ashamed of him? Are you silent? You keep it to yourself? You don't witness? We're afraid? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy to serve him? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Is he worthy that we'd serve him with our lives? Is he worthy to receive him as your Savior? Is he worthy to turn from your sin, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is Jesus worthy of our worship? Yes! Yes, yes! Forever and forever he is worthy. Amen? Forever and ever. It ought to fill our soul. It ought to fill our being. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you do, what else could we do but to worship him? Amen? Let the truth of the worth of Jesus fill your soul. For he is worthy. He is worthy. Let your every action be weighed by this question. Is Jesus worthy of our worship? Is he worthy of our best? Is he worthy of our heart? Is he worthy of our praise? Yes, he is. And all the angels of heaven forever and ever will say, he is. I trust you will be there as well, forever and ever, saying, worthy is the Lamb. Let's pray. Oh Lord, it is such a shame that we can think so highly of ourselves that we can be blinded to your worth. How blinded could we be that we would want to hang on to our rotten sins in rebellion against you? When, Lord, you are worthy of our worship, our submission, our service, our praise. You are worthy, Lord, that we should serve you with our best, the best of our life, the best of all we have. You are worthy. Lord, in your grace and mercy today, those of us that are redeemed, might the great redemption of the Savior bring us to our knees in worship. Oh, Lord, might we love you. You are worthy. Help us to cast our eyes upon Jesus once again. And exclaim, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Lord, I pray for that precious soul for whom Jesus died, shed his blood for them, for their sin, their rebellion. Lord, might they turn to him. Might they turn to him today, Lord. Might they turn to him in repentance and faith and receive him as their Savior. Lord, without you, we are all lost. We're nothing. May we worship you with our lives, our voices, our hearts, our gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.